John chapter 13. I want to read several scriptures to you today about the love of Christ for His own. John 13, starting at verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that His hour was come that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own that were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Notice those words, His own, having loved His own. Now turn to John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own. Note it. He calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he hath put forth all his own, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. He that is an hireling, and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, beholdeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf snatcheth them, and scattereth them. He fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine own, and mine own know me, even as the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. These are wonderful words. Now, let's look at chapter 15 of John. Chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do the things which I command you. Now, one other scripture that is startling, but I want us to read it. Turn to Hosea. See if you can find the book of Hosea in the Old Testament. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, and then you come to Hosea. Hosea chapter 9. And look at verse 10. Hosea 9:10. Remember, we just read about certain ones that are Christ's own. And it says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now listen to these verses. Hosea 9:10. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at its first season. But they came to Baal Peor and consecrated themselves unto the shameful thing, and became abominable like that which they love. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird. There shall be no birth, and none but child, and no conception. Though they bring up children, yet will I bereave them, so that not a man shall be left. Yea, woe also to them, when I depart from them. Ephraim, like as I have seen Tyre, is planted in a pleasant place, but Ephraim shall bring out his children to the slayer. Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them because of the wickedness of their doings. I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. Listen to those words again. I want you to see clearly that I read you what's in the Word of God. Verse 15. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. Because of the wickedness of their doings, I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Father, we are thankful for all the things in the Word of God that give us comfort, that cause us to rest our weary souls. We are thankful that at the same time, in your Word, our Father, there are portions that would pull us up short and make us examine ourselves and not be complacent and self-satisfied and filled with conceit. We are thankful, our God, for all things that are in your Word. And we pray that we shall take them both to heart, that we shall not deceive ourselves thinking we are in one class, whereas our lives tell us that we're in another class. So by thy Spirit this day, we pray, our God, that thou shalt reveal to us the truth of our spiritual condition before you. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness. We're here this morning. Let us know the devastation that came to our city, yea, to so many of the inhabitants of this part of the United States. But we're thankful for the mercy, what that was withheld, as well as the power that you've manifested in the storm. So, our God, for your goodness and your mercy, receive our thanks. And we pray, our God, that thou shalt continue to be with those that are suffering loss, know not where to turn. Let them, our God, in their helplessness, turn to thee and understand the meaning of that scripture that says that God is a very present help in trouble. We pray, our Father, that this shall be the portion of all of those who have suffered through this storm. And now, our God, especially for us today, we look to thee for good. By thy Spirit, prepare our hearts to receive the word and empower the lips of him who speaks the word. And we confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised. And glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I've been telling you about the love of the Lord Jesus for 4 weeks now. And as I progressed, I showed you that Jesus loved the little children. That's a lovely thought. The second week, I showed you that Jesus loved the young. That's a precious thought. And then, last week, I showed you that Jesus loved those that are old enough to be the parents of the young. So Jesus loved little children, the young, and the older ones. And what brought encouragement to our hearts was this, that if he loves those of every age group, then there's no one whom Jesus does not love. But if you look at those verses carefully, you will not be able to find for sure anybody in those verses that belong to the Lord. You say, how could that be? Because the Savior said, suffer, permit the little children to come unto me. Here were little children that had never come to the Lord Jesus, and they were brought to the Lord Jesus. And that rich young ruler that I read you about, he was one that ran to the Lord Jesus and asked the question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And so he didn't have eternal life. But he wanted to know what had to be done to secure eternal life. And it said Jesus loved him. So here is the love of Jesus for little children. And he says, bring them to me. He loves them and he wants them to be brought and to be saved. And he loves the young people. He wants them to come to him and to trust him as Savior and be saved. And then his heart goes out to older people who are suffering, who are experiencing sadness in heart because of death and sickness and the blows that come upon us as we go through life. But do you know that that woman belonged to Christ? You say, no. Do you know that that dead son of hers that he raised from the dead belonged to Christ? You say, no. Then, for 3 weeks now, I've told you of the love of the Lord Jesus, but it was a love in a special way. It was a love for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You say, well, there it is. That's the love of God for the whole world. Yes, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You will say, well, that is the love of God for a lost world. That's right. And all the portions that I read to you last week, I know that at least one of them was lost. That rich young ruler was enslaved by his riches, and the Savior said, it is impossible for those that trust in riches to enter heaven. It takes a miracle from God to accomplish such a thing. And concerning the little children, why, the Bible speaks about their believing. He prayed for them. He blessed them. He wanted them to grow and have minds that from their infancy, they knew the Holy Scriptures that were able to make them wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. He wanted the little ones to come and learn and see the way of salvation and to trust him. He wanted to tell that rich young ruler what he had to do to inherit eternal life, and he wanted him to do it. And then he wanted that mother and that son that had been raised from the dead. He wanted them also to believe in him. But all I've told you so far, until today, is that God loved the world, and there's no one in the world, no matter how young or how old, that Jesus does not love. But that does not mean that Jesus had saved them. And it does not mean that Jesus' love extended beyond those. And that is why I read to you today in John 13, and I want to bring other passages to your attention, about the love of the Lord Jesus now, not for those that are outside the kingdom, not for those that are lost like the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. It's not that kind of love that I'm telling you about, but it is a special kind of love for a special kind of people. And you must understand that there are both kinds, because some gloatingly say, God loves everybody. Nobody can deny that. But they say, God loves everybody. What they are really meaning is this. Therefore, they can do as they please, live as they please, sin as often as they please, and still God is going to take them to heaven because he loves them. That is a lie. That is the deception of Satan. God is not willing that any should perish. But if they do not believe in his Son, they shall perish. But the love of the Lord Jesus means that he goes to the cross for you, but it doesn't mean that you're saved. Except in John 13, where I read to you, of a special kind of love for a special kind of people. Now listen to this verse. It says that God is the Savior of all men, especially of them that believe. Oh. So of whom is God the Savior? Of all men. But of all men, among those all men, especially them that believe. So God is potentially the Savior of all, but he's the special Savior of those that believe. And God makes that distinction. Man doesn't make it. It is simply contained in the Bible that God is not willing that any should perish and that God is the Savior of all men. He loves the whole world. Jesus died for the whole world. And if you believe in Him, you'll be saved. And if you do believe in Him, you are among the special ones that are saved, because God is the Savior of all men, especially of them that believe. And so the special ones are the ones that believe. And those are the ones of whom I read you in John chapter 13. Listen to it. Jesus, having loved His own who were in the world, loved them unto the end. His own, yes. You see, the world are those that Jesus wants to be saved. His own are those special ones who are saved, who trusted Him as Savior. Now, the world will confuse what Christ means by His own. If you go to any church and ask, does this man belong to Christ? Oh, yes. His name is on the church roll. And so, if he's a member of the church, why, he is Christ's own. That's what men say. It's not what the Word of God says. Because, as a young man, before or in my teens, I joined the church, and my name was on the church roll in Raleigh, North Carolina, but it wasn't on the church roll in heaven. It says in Hebrews 12 about certain ones whose names are written in heaven. And in Luke chapter 10, the Lord Jesus said, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And therefore, when it speaks of Christ's own, it is a special, distinct class, even though the world may mix in with those that are His own. And Judas Iscariot was among those, but he was not of Christ's own. His own are those that are genuinely saved, and concerning those particular ones, certain promises are made, and certain descriptions are given, and we have to take them to heart. Because the encouragement I gave you for the last 3 weeks is that of whatever age group you are, whoever you are, God loves you and He wants you to be saved. But the message today is not that He wants you to be saved, but the message today is for those who have been saved, and this is the way that God describes you. You are Christ's own. When you read the Gospels, if you read it carefully, you'll see these particular ones described in various portions of the Scripture. Listen to this. In John chapter 6, the Savior says, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. Notice, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. I read to you about them in John chapter 10. It speaks about the shepherd, and it speaks of his own that follow him, his own that will not listen to the voice of a stranger. The Lord Jesus has His own. They are the special ones, not the professing Christians, not the church members, not the religious ones, but those that are genuinely born into God's family, and they are called Christ's own. Now, I could have read to you in John chapter 17, because there are so many wonderful things there, but I'll tell you a little bit about them, because they're described there also. The Lord Jesus speaks about those whom Thou hast given me out of the world. They were Thine, and you gave them to me. And so there are those that are the Father's, and the Father gives them to the Son. You say, this is a remarkable thing. You mean that in the world there are those that are Christ's own, that belong to the Father, and He gives them to the Son. I simply tell you what the Savior told His Father in John chapter 17. And I simply tell you what the Savior speaks concerning those that are His own. And I want you to take courage, and I want you to be grounded, and I want you to have full assurance if you are among those that are Christ's own. Now, what is something very strange and very hard to comprehend is what Peter says in his second epistle. Listen to this. He says, "Wherefore, give all diligence to make your calling and election sure." You say, how do I make my calling and election sure? Well, understand this, that the elect, the election of those that are spoken of is Christ's own. And Peter exhorts those to whom he's writing, make your calling and election sure. Now, let me tell you something that is pitiable, but at the same time, I could not help but laugh. Years ago, I was in a distant city and talking to a man, and this man wanted more than anything else to be saved. But this is the way he put it. He said, oh, he said, if I only knew that I was among the elect, my heart would be at rest. I see. He wanted to know that he was among the elect, and then his heart would be at rest. I assure you this. If you are asking me, well, who knows that he's among the elect? How can a man know that he is among the elect? I tell you this. You will never know that you are among the elect when you are unsaved, but you will definitely know that you are among the elect after you are saved. You say, what? That's right. Because if a man is walking down the street saying, oh, I'm among the elect, I'm going to be saved, that is a lie. Nobody knows that. But as soon as you are saved, then all the portions that I've read to you, like the ones in John chapter 13, are true, and therefore you are encouraged and you are strengthened and you have assurance, not wondering, if I am among the elect, all these things will be true. All these things will come to your heart and work upon you for edification because you've learned that you are among God's elect. And who are those that know they are God's elect? They are the ones who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. Well, how do I know that I'm among the elect? Do you have the Son? You say, yes, I have the Son. Well, then if you have the Son, what do you have? You say, I have life. And if you have life, you are among whom? You say, I'm among the elect. Then, if you have placed your faith in Christ, the very fact that you've done that shows that you are of the elect. Listen to this. And I told you in past weeks, I preached three times that whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's true. There's no man who wants to be saved that God will not save. There is no man that God hates, and there is no man that God has elected to damnation, whereas the Scripture teaches that God has elected some to, and it mentions certain things in the Bible to which they are elected. And so I'm talking about those that are Christ's own today. And having made your calling and election sure, how do you do it? You examine your heart and you say, oh God, I know that I'm a guilty sinner, and I know that Christ died for me, and I know that with all my heart I've trusted Him as my Savior.
Who am I? I'll give you the answer. You are among the elect of God. You say then, those who trust Christ as Savior discover that they are among the elect. But any man who has never trusted Christ as Savior until he does, he can never know he is of the elect. And so that is why it was so pitiable that I was just laughing at that man. He said, oh, if I only knew I was among the elect. You can determine that today. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And if you come unto him, then when you come to him, he gives you rest. And you say, why, I am of the elect. Why, of course. And that's the only way you'll ever realize that you are. And then, in Peter, it says, make your calling and election sure. How? By the empowering grace of God that saved you to live a Christ-like life in this world. The life doesn't save you, but it shows that you are saved, that the power of God is working in you, and you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, and God's Spirit is enabling you to live as a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you add one virtue to another virtue, and you become more and more like the Lord Jesus. And you're becoming more like Christ means that you've been born into the family of God, and you are growing in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, I'm speaking today about those that are Christ's own, and they are called his elect. If we're talking about the Jews, even though God chose them as a nation, only certain ones of that nation are ultimately going to enjoy all the blessings of God. Because it says that though the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant shall be saved. Whereas God has physical blessings for a physical nation. He took them all out of the land of Egypt, all of them in that sense, were chosen of God to be freed from the power of slavery. God's intention was to take them to the promised land, but they sinned against God. And only those under 20 years of age, with Joshua and Caleb, entered into the promised land. And so there are many workings of God among the Israelites. But among those Israelites as a whole, there was a remnant, certain ones, Joshua, Caleb, Moses, yes, even though certain restrictions applied to him. Caleb, oh yes, certain ones that were genuine believers in Christ. And God speaks of them as his elect, as a remnant. And those are the ones that John is describing in chapter 13. Listen, Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now, Jesus has a special love for his own. And that special love will do for his own what his general love for all mankind will not do for all. Like this. When the rich young ruler was told what he had to do to inherit eternal life, and he turned his back on the Savior and walked away, the love of the Lord Jesus did not go after him and bring him back. Why? Because he was not Christ's own. But if you are Christ's own, once you have trusted the Savior, his love will never let you go. It says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And just as Jonah thought that he could get away without doing the will of God, when God said, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it these words, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And Jonah said, I'm not going to Nineveh. And God said, oh, yes, you are, because Jonah genuinely belonged to God, and God deals with those that are his own in a different way from those that are not his own. If you are not his own, and he says, come, follow me, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and you say, no, I'm not going to do it, then God lets you go. But in other instances, as in the case of Jonah. If God says, you're to go and preach to Nineveh, I'm not going. God says, oh, yes, you are. I'm not going. And so he has him cast into the ocean. He has him swallowed by the great fish. He has him vomited up on dry ground. And God says, now go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, I will go. And so there are those that belong to God in a special way. And God has special dealings with them. And God has special love for them. Just as Christ has special love that is described in John chapter 13. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now let me tell you about this word. He loved them unto the end. Because it's so important. It can be translated three ways. Because this word, the root derivations of it, just like faith, believe, faithfulness, all of those words are from the same root. And in like manner, the three translations I'm going to give you of John 13 about the love of Christ, all three translations are legitimate, and you can accept them this way. Now listen, just as it's found in our King James versions, Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. All right. If he loved them unto the end, when is Jesus going to stop loving you? You say, if he's going to love me to the end, he'll never stop loving me. That is the meaning of that word. He loves his own unto the end. You say, thank God, Jesus will never stop loving me. Are you satisfied with that? You say, yes, I'm not, because the word also means this. Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the uttermost. You say, the uttermost. Yes, that word, the same word, is translated uttermost somewhere else. You say, well, that's beautiful too. Jesus, loving me, he loves me to the uttermost. Then his love is without measure. You say, that's right. If it's to the uttermost, then it can't be measured. If he loves me unto the end, then it will never end. You say, that's right. Well, are you satisfied now? You say, well, I would have been, but is there more? Yes. The same word is translated perfection elsewhere in the New Testament. Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto perfection. You say, then, there is no flaw in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that Christ expects of me and my love, in which I miserably fail, all that he has told me that love is to be found in his love, and his love for me is perfect. Now, that's all that I can tell you, because these are the three ways that the word is translated. Is that not enough? You say, that is enough for any man. And so, if you are God's own, Christ having loved his own, then it means he loves you unto the end. It means he loves you to the uttermost. And it means he loves you to perfection. Have you ever heard of any love like that love? You say, there is no love like that love. That is true. Because Christ's love is like the Father's love and is equal to the Father's love. And the Lord Jesus says that I love you and the Father loves you, and now I want your love to be like my love and the Father's love. And you and I hear that and we say, our love has not been like that. No, but we're working on it. And if you are genuinely Christ's own, then Christ is looking for that love that has been born into you, that is a part of your new nature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And it says, you have a divine nature. and therefore now you love. It says, we love God and we love man, we love because he first loved us. And what God is doing is working on us that our love will endure, that our love will increase, that our love will be perfected. And that's what the Epistle of John tells us so often in chapter 2 and in chapter 4. It says, verily in him is the love of God perfected. So that you love a little bit isn't enough. That's why it speaks in Thessalonians of an exhortation that we are to love more and more. But if Christ's love is perfected, he cannot love us anymore. If he's loved us to the uttermost, he can love us no more. If he loves us unto the end, why, he can love us no more. So the ideal is Christ's love. I told you this Wednesday night, if you were here. It speaks about certain worldlings, certain false followers of Christ. It says they judge themselves by themselves. I see. And so if I judge my love by your love, I'm as good as you are, probably better than you are. But if I judge my love by Christ's love, I say, oh God, I'm humble. I fall short. I must more diligently seek to love the people of God and to love my Savior and my Father. But there are some who measure themselves among themselves and with themselves. It says they are without understanding. But the love that God has as a measuring rod is the love of Jesus Christ. And so, if you've begun to love, and you must love if you belong to Christ, because it says, we love because he first loved us. That is the first thing that is manifest, a love in you that was never there before. That it is alive, but it's to grow, it's to mature. And finally, God wants to speak about our loving to the uttermost, our loving to the end, and our loving to perfection. You say, that is in the distant future. Yes, but God doesn't want it that way. And Christ's love, and this is the encouragement, has never been anything from the beginning to the end except that kind of love. You mean that when Jesus loved me, he was going to love me to the uttermost? From the very first, he was going to love me to the uttermost. That when he started loving me, he was going to love me to the end? Yes, he was. That having begun to love me, even though my life has disappointed him so many times, his love is still perfect love for me. And that is the glorious thing about the love of Christ. Listen to it. It says in Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nobody and nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. But it is the love for his own. And you have to make that calling and election sure. Well, how can I know that I'm among the elect? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you genuinely believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then I assure you that you are among the elect. And you'll begin to love God and your fellow man. And you'll begin to live for God and your fellow man. And when you sin, you will not disregard it and callously continue in sin. But as Simon Peter, when the Lord Jesus looked at him, when he sinned, it said Peter went out and he wept bitterly. That is the difference between those that are loved by Christ, those that are his own, and those that genuinely love Christ and seek to live for him. All right. Now, think of this because it settles so many problems. It says in Matthew chapter 24, they that endure to the end shall be saved. You say, once I'm saved, I have to endure to the end? Absolutely. If not, you are not saved. You say, well, I don't know that I can endure to the end. You can't endure to the end. That is why I bring to your attention, Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. The love of Jesus is going to preserve you unto the end. Do you not understand that? Having loved you at the first, he's not going to abandon you along the way. It says Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for the saints, and you will perish and not endure to the end if you are among those false professors, those that join the church, those that are baptized, but you're not born again, you won't endure to the end. But if you genuinely trusted Christ, you will endure to the end. Why? Because Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And this is what he told Simon Peter. He said, you're going to deny me three times. And I would say, if that's so, you should be cast out. But Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times. But I pray for you that your faith fail not. What does that mean? It means that he's going to endure to the end, even though he's going to stumble and falter, even though he's going to bring shame upon the name of Christ. The Lord Jesus said, I pray for you that your faith fail not. If Jesus' love is to the end, then I, having been saved, I shall endure to the end. And also I rejoice in this. I rejoice that Christ has loved me to the uttermost, because when I see the sins that the apostles and the disciples of Christ committed, if he did not love them to the uttermost, he would have said, depart from me. I've endured you as long as I intend to. But it says he loved them to the uttermost. Listen to this. It says in chapter 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You say, well, Jesus has already laid down his life for me. Well, can he have any greater love? You say, no, that's the uttermost. Well, if he's already shown the uttermost, will he not show something less than the uttermost? You say, yes. Jesus, having begun to love you, will love you unto the end. And Jesus, having begun to love you, in spite of your failures, still loves you to the uttermost. And he loves you to perfection. And so, I tell you that potentially any man can be saved. God loves the world. But I tell you that if you are saved, Jesus has loved you to the uttermost, to the end. That is the love of Christ. Never let anyone take it away from you. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so glad that men would seek to describe in a different way the love that you have for us and the love that your Son has for us. They would tell us, O God, that your love is a love that will save all men whether they believe or not. That's false. And then they tell us that once we are truly saved, your love won't endure to the end. That's false. We are thankful that you tell us in the Scripture about your love and the love of Christ for his own. We are so thankful for that love, our Father. We are thankful for Christ as the Good Shepherd. He layeth down his life. He layeth down that life for the sheep. And when the wolf came, our God, he stood up and confronted the wolf. And he sacrificed his life that the sheep might be saved. We're thankful for the love of Christ. So let us be sure. Let us make our calling and election sure. And not trust on any church role or anything within ourselves. But let us trust in the precious blood of Christ. Father, we thank you for the love of your Son, for his own. In his name.